Carlos Coombe. He's a postdoctoral researcher within Fleet, working at Swinburne University of Technology on ultra-cold atomic gas.
That's correct.
Now, Carlos, welcome. It's great to have you in here. First of all, Fleet, we're having a few guests from you guys on at the moment, and it stands for?
Stands for Future Low Energy Electronic Technologies.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to forget it every week because it's complicated.
That's why I print out as well.
You've got you've got on your T-shirt.
I got the T-shirt today to see if I'm in the spirit.
Yeah. That's a wicked accent, man. Where are you from?
I'm from Brazil originally.
Yep. And how long have you been here?
About 5 years.
I thought you were going to say about 5 minutes because the accent's awesome. Like, it's still, you haven't lost it at all in 5 years.
No, yeah, it's something I'm trying to lose, but I heard it's very hard to lose.
Hang on to it.
You don't want to sound like a dirty Aussie. Trust me.
Make it easy to the students understand you, but now I think
don't worry about the students. none of the people without accents do. Oh, that was harsh. That's not true. I'm sure there's one or two out there that really love them. Dr. Jen's one. Anyway, now let's talk about your stuff because you're working in particular on this quantum gas microscope stuff. So first of all, we need to unpack what a quantum gas is for people because most of our listeners probably won't have heard of this term.
Okay, yeah. The fact is a quantum gas because the atoms are the gas is very cold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then what make a transition in the gas is not like temperature. Like the water boiling, normally those are classic transitions.
Mm-hmm.
In the quantum gas, the system is so cold, then quantum fluctuations are what make the transition happen. Then you can understand the rules, what make the dynamic of the system are quantum.
Hmm.
Then the microscope built in that quantum is because we are going to build the first, it's a first of a kind in Australia.
Right.
We have one in Germany, they are building one in the United States, in MIT. Is then you're going to be able to see the atoms, each atom individually,
mm-hmm.
and manipulate using lasers,
mm-hmm.
each atom, and then you're going to be able to make the link between the quantum properties of those atoms in the nanoscale to the micro scale, and you have all the thermodynamic laws, and you have like superfluidity, all those things.
So let me unpack this a bit. So normally when we think of transitions, we're talking about, you know, you take water and you cool it down and it freezes, or you heat it up and it turns into a gas, and they're transitions between various states.
Mm.
But with these quantum gases, we're not talking about things like temperature causing those changes. We're talking about the actual fluctuations that naturally occur in these quantum states of individual atoms.
Yeah.
And so this microscope's going to be able to look at those and see how those changes then affect the sort of larger scale properties of these materials. Is that perfect?
Yeah, perfect.
there you go. See, I remember a little bit of science from it.
Yeah, it's good.
So the interesting thing is how do you control these gases on that scale?
Okay, we have to use light,
right.
Lasers. Okay, everyone always thinking lasers heat up things, but it's not. Laser you can use to cool, and I think that's what makes laser cool.
Then
we're going to shine light, and the interaction between light and matter is a dipole interaction. Then we can like create potential where you're going to trap those atoms, and then you can manipulate those atoms, like pretend those atoms are like a crystal,
mm-hmm.
like a matter,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to be able to simulate like matter and to guide the different ways you could make the fluidity of the electrons in a superconductor. And that's what the link of that research with the Fleet. Because
mm-hmm.
the Fleet wants to be able to build a switch, an electronic to the computers, in such a way you do not waste energy.
Right.
And then you can be faster. Like that's the superfluidity, superconductive thing.
So when you're using light to control the atoms, is that more because light actually... like we often forget this, but it imposes momentum on objects when it hits them. Like you can actually transfer, you know, you can actually push something with light. We don't think about it normally that way, but you can. Is that what's happening, or is it something different?
We, in the case of cooldown, is more the fact of the dope shift with the frequency of the laser and the atom. Then you can think like in a two photon transition,
mm-hmm.
Or in a photon transition when the atom catch one photon from the light, and then when they emit the light, emit this like in a random way.
Ah, okay.
Correct. Then the atom is moving in that direction. They get the transition. Then to conserve momentum, when the light goes away, that photon go away, you stop the atom there.
So you're slowing them down.
Slowing them down. That's the process to cooling the atom. But then for trap, you have like a similar interaction. You can think like a scattering process as well. What then causes like a dipole force is not much pressure. Maybe you can think in a pressure way, but it's not much like that. And then you can confine the atoms in that potential.
And how, so when you cool these atoms in this way, I mean, how does that compare to like, so if you're just out in space, like outside of our atmosphere, and you come across random atoms and they're at a certain temperature, are these much, much cooler than that? Or is it that sort of range? Are we, I mean, how cold are these things?
Yeah, no, the things we are talking about is like nanokelvin, the temperature.
Nanokelvin.
Yeah, is we extract more energy than what a free atom would be in the space, I guess, and I'll never be in the space to make sure.
Chris KP has, but, yeah, he says it's very cold.
Though atoms are like inside a vacuum chamber, where like is very low pressure, then they cannot like interact with the another. Then it's kind of vacuum. You can think like in space in vacuum as well. Then I think if you have a closed atoms there, and you take off the kinetic energy of that, this is going to be cold as well. Then I think it's comparable. I think maybe not, but I can be wrong.
And so if you grab all of these atoms and you're controlling them all with these lasers, you're telling me that you can simulate with that any crystal structure?
Yeah, it's a little bit more complicated than that. The cell is that, but yes, you can make like 3D lattices or 2D lattices. For the fleet ones, we're interested in the two-dimensional ones because that's when you have like the superconductivity going on. And then you just like shine the lasers in such a way he confine, and then the atoms are going to be attracted.
I've got a really stupid question. So you're essentially positioning atoms using lasers, and you can do it up to a whole 3D shape if you like. How long does it take? I mean, if someone cuts the power off and all the lasers just stop being held in position, how hard is it to get them back where you want them?
That is not hard at all. Once you have the machine...
Not for you, maybe.
No, that's a good one. It's not hard at all because once you have the machine, that's the difference between the condensed matter is every time you want to try a new topological material, you have to manufacturing.
Right.
With the atoms, you have the atoms already in the chamber. Then you have just to switch your laser with the right interference pattern, and then you get the atoms trapped in the position you want. And then this will be like once the machine is built. But the lab is like just start to build from scratch. You have just two tables and frames and in the work on, then they have a lot of opportunity for students.
That's cool.
I don't know. I would like also have an opportunity to talk about another thing with Fleet is doing.
Yeah, what else?
Is the outreach.
Oh, the outreach programs. Yeah. So you're taking the atoms out?
Yeah, good one again. Yeah, and not take the atoms, but we are made of atoms, correct?
Yeah. Trillions of them.
Not that cold. Okay. You're going to be freezing.
Yeah. Chris Kepi is ice cold.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, he's cool. He's not cold. Stop it.
Yeah, no, it's because the fleet is also another, is a set of excellence, is they take very serious to take science out to community. And that's why you said you get a few guests from Fleet. And then you are trying very hard. And one of the things they are taking very seriously is like how to inspire kids to do science.
Lasers will do that.
Lasers always
you burn some quickly. Shit with a laser and your kids are hooked.
Exactly. Actually, then they do have like in the website, they have a... every week they release a video how to kids can do science at home and by themselves with a supervision of adults. I always tend to say that in the radio.
Especially if it's got frogs and lasers.
Yeah, anytime lasers and children are involved, definitely supervise.
Yeah, exactly. And also they motivate the researchers like us to pair with CSRO. They have a program what is STEAM professionals at school. And I actually doing that, and it's very easy to get involved. what you need just to do is to send an email to say, I want to work in any school as a volunteer to help the science. They give you back the partner where the schools in the area you set.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the moment in the school in the Lilydale, teaching kids of year 11 and 12 how to code Python.
Ah, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because
yeah.
I think coding is something very important for the scientists.
Yeah, definitely.
And also for the year 10, then you're doing rock science. It's rocket science. We are using soft drink button to introduce
nice.
They how to use the equations and determine which one go higher. They design the project for themselves.
Yeah,
I build the launcher. And then you're having a lot of fun. And the idea is like to make them think like a scientist, like to see what makes my rocket go better,
yeah.
And then what you change for the next interaction. Then that way you're going to get the scientific method to the kids.
Mm. Now, that's great. Look, it's good to hear, because the Centers of Excellence do get a lot of money, so a bit of outreach is definitely what they should be doing. So it's good to hear the fleet is doing that well. Carlos, thanks so much for coming in and chatting to us about this. The individual atom control stuff is really fascinating, and the new material properties you can get out of doing that. We heard a bit about that last week from one of your colleagues, and hearing more today, it's really cool. So thanks so much, and good luck.
Thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Carlos Kuhn is a postdoctoral researcher within Fleet, working at Swinburne University. We're going to take a break.